Now we come to the Gospel, which is from St. Mark, chapter 7. It's the conflict with the Pharisees and some theologians who watch Jesus' disciples not observing a kind of a custom among, Mark says all Jews do this, maybe, but it's more like the Pharisees say, because that since we're a priestly people, everybody should keep the purity laws the way the priests do. So he washes your cups and bowls and all that. And so you see, we're back, in a way, to keep the law. But our Lord is going to point out, see, keep the law means keep the law. It doesn't mean multiply laws. Okay. So we're going to look at the text. Now when the Pharisees with some scribes, that is some theologians, the word scribe as we have it comes from scribere in Latin, to write. They're called the grammateon, from grammar, letter. Okay. Pharisees and scribes who had come from Jerusalem. See, it's the Jerusalem people who are mostly against Jesus, and that's why in John's Gospel, very often, the word the Jews doesn't mean every Jewish person in the world. It means the authorities in Jerusalem, as I think I pointed out before. Now when the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. They watched. These guys were hungry. So they tucked in, you know. And it's not clear. Mark says all the Jews do this. It was not clear. The Pharisees said, we're all a priestly people, so we should keep all the cleanliness laws like the priests do. And extended it. And Mark explains that. You see? For the Pharisees, and that's true about the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. Some texts don't have the end beds part. Okay. Mark, that's a little aside Mark gives us. You see, this is Sharia. See, this is the way they do that. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands? They're after Jesus. They want to portray him as not a good Jew, because they want to get him. So Jesus answers them, huh? Never even says, well, you see, my disciples want to know. He doesn't. He just says, well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine human precepts. That can happen all the time. Pretty soon, you know, we have all these little laws to hold up the big laws, and we're, now we need little laws, but you see, if religion gets into keeping the law, as Jesus is going to say, no, religion is knowing us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and loving us as we love you. And then, when my Holy Spirit speaks to you, you'll jump, whatever you want, sure. But it's not, in fact, you know, St. Thomas says, you see, that, you know, the Spirit gives life, the letter kills. St. Thomas says, if you just take the letter of the gospel and try to jam it into existence on your own will, that can be killing too. The letter of the gospel can kill if it's not suffused with love and enthusiasm and trust and yearning for that inner freedom and purity of heart that only the Lord can give. And if we go to him and say, Lord, I'm a wreck. I'm either sinning or I'm exaggerating. Can I get in between? And yes, you can. Just come to the Lord and say, Lord, show me your face. Any way you want, please just let me know you. Show me your face. Melt my heart so that I start to love you, really love you. And then this other stuff will be easy. And so that's what this conversation is all about. Okay. And so we have that text that comes from Isaiah 29, verse 13. Well, our Lord quotes it, and I think we should probably look at the context quickly. I'm going like it's going left to right instead of right to left. See what happens when you get mixed up. So I'm wondering how come I can't find it. This is God, you see, berating his people for the same thing. We're keeping all the law. You're not listening to me. You're not taking care of the poor. You're not even treating one another right, you know? And now you come to me and say, how come things are going badly? I already told you why. You see? For you the revelation of all this has come like the words of a sealed scroll. Read this. Isaiah is supposed to tell that to somebody. He says, I can't. The Lord said, since this people draws near with words only and honors me with their lips alone, though their hearts are far from me, and their reverence has become routine observance of the precepts of men. Therefore, I will again deal with this people in a surprising and wondrous fashion. And he goes on to describe that. God is like that. Don't give me all this stuff. Give me your heart. And if you'll give me your heart and I work with you, you could be a martyr. But if you start with all the rules, why do we make all these rules and then try to keep them? To keep God at a distance. We hide behind the law. I'm safe. And God says, you're not safe. You're like Adam, hiding behind the trees. Where are you? I heard your voice and I hid. Who told you? You see, stand out here where we can talk and I can show you who I am. I can win your heart over. You know, the Lord says, look, as he said to Thomas, look at my hands, look at my feet, look at my heart. Is that the body of somebody who doesn't care? That the body of somebody would arbitrarily condemn you? Don't you understand who I am? So don't keep hiding behind these rules. Come out behind those rules. Come out from behind those trees and talk to me. I don't know how. You don't have to know how. Just show up and explain to me you don't know how, and I'll show you how. Well, I tried that. Try it again. Keep trying. I guarantee you that seeking my face is what I'm looking for. And then, if I make a saint out of you, a mystic out of you, and I can do it, you see, then, as John of the Cross says, he has this diagram, Mount Carmel, and at the top, and here's all the vices you're letting go and the virtues you're practicing, and then you're at the top. And he says about the top, here, there is no law. Because this Holy Spirit is so moving us, you see, that I'll give you an example. If I talk fast, I can get it in. This is an example from that Father Lyonnais used to give us when I was a student 100 years ago. He said, these two young women walk into the hospital, and they both start to take care of the same man. And he's very sick, and you know they're taking care of him, bringing him his food, cleaning him up, doing everything. And at 3 o'clock, they were there at 7, at 3 o'clock, one goes, and the other stays. And you say, that young woman who stays, she's a slave. Then you find out, the one who left was a nurse, the one who stayed is his daughter. Now what? Who's free? The one who stayed, because she's doing just what she wants to do. She's serving, and why is that what she wants to do? Because she loves. So love is the way to freedom. Not inactivity. And so that's what our Lord is trying to tell these people here, you see. He went on to say, how well you have set aside the commandments of God in order to uphold your tradition. This is terrible. Moses said, that is my father, through Moses, said, honor your father and mother. And you say, whoever, in this translation, whoever curses mother, no, I'm sorry. Moses says, whoever curses father or mother shall die. And you say, if a person says to father or mother, any support you might have had from me is korban, meaning is dedicated to the temple. I wrote out a check, $30,000, gave it to the college to build a building. So now I'm broke, you just have to do it, you know. He says, that is a sin. That is a sin, you see. You allow him to do nothing more for his father and mother. You nullify the word of God in favor of your tradition that you have handed on, and you do many such things. Now, you can see, you know, anybody, any ecclesiastic, you know, who likes money can try to make little rules so that they don't have to help their family. They can help me. Then I can join the country club. You know what I mean? And our Lord says, that makes me mad. You're twisting my father's law, and you're leaving these people without care from their children. And that's all korban, that's all legal. It's not legal, it's a sin. And you could have 20 laws that make it legal, it's not legal. Our Lord's pretty upset. Okay? Then he summons the crowd. Most of the time at this point, the disciples come and ask him privately. This time, he brings everybody. He said, now listen and understand, nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. Now when he got home away from the crowd, his disciples questioned him about the parable and said, what did you mean by that parable? Sounds pretty clear, doesn't it? And he says, are you likewise without understanding? Do you not realize that everything that goes into a person from outside cannot defile? It enters the heart, doesn't enter the heart. It enters the stomach and passes into the latrine. Mark adds, thus making all foods clean. No more clean and unclean foods. They can't hurt you. Potatoes are clean and turnips are unclean. No, you don't like turnips. You know, don't eat them then, but don't say they're unclean. Okay. But what comes out of a person, that's what defiles. And then he gives a list. From within people, from their hearts, that's what he's after, your heart, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within. It's not what goes this way, it's what goes this way that defiles. And the Pharisees gathered near him, and some of the scribes coming from Jerusalem and seeing some of his disciples, you know, and so forth. But the text ends with, all these evils come from within, and they defile. And that's our Lord's, you see. So, now we go back to Deuteronomy. Keep all these laws, yeah, but keep them out of love. Now you remember that, at least I hope you've heard, the notion of love in Deuteronomy is the closest to New Testament teaching. You see, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, you see, and all your soul and all your might. And our Lord adds, and your neighbor is yourself. And he says, this second one is like the first one. They're equal. You can't love me and hate your neighbor. Doesn't work. That's the end of this teaching.